Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, look if you would, start at verse 16. It says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." Now, right then and there, I mean, for me, that grabs my attention. Amen? Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those men which were hidden or which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that there is room for anybody in this room, Lord, at the cross of Calvary. And I pray, Lord, this morning, if there's anybody here that's not saved today, Lord, I pray that today will be the day that they call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. That they'll just trust their soul, Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ and believe he died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And Lord, I pray that if there are saved people here today, Lord, that aren't right with you, or saved people today that are going through certain things, Lord, or save people today just need to draw closer to you, I pray that today they'll do those things, Lord, and you'll comfort them in the things that they're going through. Father, again, I pray that you'll be glorified in the preaching. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, and help us to respond to what you have to say. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here we see where Jesus gives a parable about an invitation being given. And rather than accepting the invitation that's given, people make excuses as to why they can't come after the invitation's been given. Now, today, a great invitation is given for anyone who has ever sinned, and that's everybody, anybody who's never been saved to come to Jesus Christ and receive him as the Lord and Savior of their soul. And in fact, today, at the very end of this message, there's going to be an invitation given. And it'll be an invitation for you to come to receive Jesus Christ if you've never been saved. If you've never called on him in the past, you're going to have an opportunity to respond to the message. You have an opportunity to come down at the invitation and receive Jesus Christ. There's also going to be an invitation today for Christians who may have gotten away from the Lord, who may be harboring some sin, or may have something in their life that they shouldn't have, or doing something in their life that they shouldn't be doing. There's going to be an invitation for you today to come down and bow the knee before the Lord and make things right with the Lord. There's also going to be an invitation today at the end of the service for any Christian who needs to just come down and cast their cares upon the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, what I'm going through is too much for me to bear. Lord, I need your strength, Lord. I need you to be with me. There's going to be an invitation for that too. Or even an invitation for you just to come down at the end of the service and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my kids healthy. Thank you, Lord, for the good years I've been able to live. And Lord, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, that one of these days I'll get to go to heaven and I don't have to worry about death. There's going to be an invitation for you to come down and tell the Lord thank you. But you know, the thing about invitations is today that many Christians either do not know or they've forgotten this, and that is invitations are not given based on emotions. Invitations are given so that you can respond to what the Lord is saying to you. You know, when we read our Bible, the Lord speaks to us through his words, and we're able to talk to him through prayer. And when the word of God is being preached, then many times the Lord is speaking to you in your hearts. And the thing of it is, we can sit there and we can listen to the Lord and we can feel what the Lord is telling us deep down. But folks, if you don't respond to it, then you're wasting your time being here. And I'm just going to tell you that. We are to be hearers of the Word of God, but we're also to be doers of the Word of God. And when we read that Bible, and that Bible points out something that's going on in your life, and you just sit there and listen to it, and you don't respond to it, the Lord's not happy with that, and you've wasted your time coming here. The purpose for you to come here is to glorify the Lord, to hear what He has to say, and do something about it. That's the part. That's one of the purposes for you being here today. If you had kids, and you said, "Now listen, here's what I'm telling you: clean your room," and they look at you with that blank stare that they always use, and they say, "Okay," and then you come back and the room isn't clean, would you be happy about that? Did you not tell them to do something, but they didn't respond? In other words, they didn't do it. They gave you lip service and says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it. I promise I'll take care of it." But they never took care of it. You see, that's what we often do. We know when there's preaching done, the people will hear the Lord speaking to them, and for some reason they won't respond. I have preached, and I have preached before and given a gospel message in different places. I remember one time I used to preach at a youth camp. Mostly they had like 350 kids there. And I remember while I was preaching there, and I could see kids that are sitting there bawling, hanging onto the seat, knowing that they weren't saved, but they would not come down. They would not call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why is that? Because people don't always respond to the call of God. Listen, everybody in here, the Lord's got something to say to you today. You need to listen to what the Lord's saying to you and respond to that. Listen, it's not always just because you're not right with God or that you need to be saved. Sometimes the Lord is saying, listen, you need to bow the knee to me and just talk to me a little bit. You need to sit here and spend some time with me so you can hear me talk to your heart and so that you can be comforted. Sometimes the Lord has given you that invitation, but yet people still won't respond. And we see it over and over and over. They're not based on, the invitations aren't based on emotions. They're based on what the Lord has to say to you. Some people believe the only time to come down to the prayer benches is when your heart is broke or there's some conviction given to them by God. But the truth is, even though you may not be convicted over something, you can still come down, bow the knee to the Lord. Also, the invitation is not just given for those who are not saved. It's not just given for those who are not right with God. It's an invitation to talk to God about anything. And might I also add that regardless of why you come forward to the invitation, you shouldn't worry about what somebody else thinks about it. Now, I'll tell you this. I believe one of the reasons people don't come down to your invitation is because they're going to think, well, you know what? If I walk down there and I actually go to those prayer benches and bow the knee before the Lord, somebody's going to think I'm not right with God. And I don't want them to think that. I mean, after all, when pastor says that, I mean, he's only inviting those people who are unsaved. Those people ain't right with God. Well, I'm right with God, so I don't want to go down there to prayer benches. I mean, what would people think? Who cares what people think? Amen? Amen? Hey, listen, folks. You're going to be spending eternity with the Lord. And you're going to spend eternity on your knees a lot before the Lord. May as well get in practice now. Amen? Hey, listen. When you come down to the prayer benches, when you come down at invitation time, that's between you and the Lord. Folks, listen. If I came down and I started praying at this prayer bench right here, I don't care if you think, oh, pastor isn't right with God. Look at him down there on his knees. I don't care if you think that. Think it all you want. I'm spending time talking to my Savior. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's what the invitation's all about. It's an invitation to come to the Lord at His bidding. That's what you're reading about right here. It's an invitation to come to the Lord at His bidding. And so when we read this parable here, we see an invitation to a supper that's given. And when Jesus spoke of this invitation, the invitation to the supper represents the salvation of the soul. In other words, when He made the table, He said it's all prepared and there's room. There's room for everybody. Go out on the hedges and highways and bring them in. There's room for everybody. That's what this supper represents. It represents the salvation of the soul. And when Jesus spoke of the invitation supper here, I want you to think about what a great supper it was. and what a great banquet it was, and how important it is that a person be saved. Now, I tell you, I've been to a lot of banquets, I've been to a lot of suppers, but I will tell you, I've never had a supper ever that compared with the day I got saved. Because the day I got saved was as happy as I ever been, and then after that, I started seeing other people get saved, and that was the second happiest I've ever been. It's something about when a person gets saved. But I'll tell you this, folks, no banquet or supper that I've ever attended compares to being saved. And if you've never been saved today, the Lord Jesus Christ has invited you to come to this great supper. Everything you need has been provided for your life on the table of God's great salvation. Everything the human heart ever needs or desires is found when you respond to the invitation to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So in this parable this morning, we learn several aspects of God's invitation. I want you to notice in verses 16 to 17 how the invitation is extended to others. Look, if you would, at verse 16. It says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." Jesus begins this parable by saying that there's a great supper that the man has made. He is inviting people. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them who were invited, come, it's all been taken care of. Just come. The Lord's done it all. Now, that's a pretty simple message if you think about it. Because really what he's saying is, come. Come on. It's all ready. It's all been prepared. God says, I want you to come to my banquet supper. You know, it's God who always takes the initiative in salvation. It's always God who takes the initiative. It's God who makes the plea for the souls of men. It's God who says, come, let us reason together. It's God himself who says to every one of you today, come. Come, it's already been prepared for you. If a person is not saved, it's not God's fault. It's that person's fault. He says, come. And that's a great word of the gospel invitation. Do you know the overall difference between religion and salvation? I hear people all the time saying, I tried that religion never, it never worked for me. Listen, folks, what I have isn't religion. It's salvation. Amen? Amen? And listen, a person starts talking about religion, I just say, well, listen, that religion stuff is for other people. Jesus Christ is what saves a person, not religion. But I'll tell you the difference between religion and salvation. Religion says to you, go and do. Whereas salvation says, come and be. That's the difference. Religion teaches you that you have to do something to earn or merit your salvation, whereas salvation simply says, come. It's all been prepared. May I say, too, that God has issued the invitation to all people. He's made it very simple. He says, just simply, to come. All right, there's something else about this invitation, and that is the availability of it. Look, if you would, at verse 17. He says, come, for all things are now ready. That means that every provision has been made. This man has made the great supper. He is the one who's invited people to come. They don't have to do anything else except show up. They don't have to do anything else but come. He's done everything else. He's the one who planned the supper. He's the one who has paid the price for all the expenses of the supper. He's the one who presents the invitation and tells people to come. And likewise, God has done everything necessary in order for people to be saved. Salvation does not rest on what you do. Salvation rests on what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And all you have to do is come, folks. If you're not saved here today, all you got to do is come. The invitation's given to you. You don't have to do anything to be saved. It's already been taken care of. He took care of it on the cross 2,000 years ago. All you have to do is come. And by the way, it says that there is room at his table. Amen. I hear so many people say, you know, Pastor, you just don't understand what I've done. Did he ask what these people had done? No, he said, just come. He didn't care what they did. He just wanted them to come. He said, I prepared a supper, and I just want people to come. I want my house full. May I tell you, that's what God wants. He wants his house full. When he gets to heaven, you know who he wants in heaven with him? Every single person who's ever lived. That's who God wants in heaven with him. Now, here's the sad part is that God's given an invitation, but most don't come. Most say, I've got other things to do. Nope, I'm not going to go to that. Nope, go preach to somebody else. They don't come. But the Lord says, I want everybody to be here. He's given the invitation to everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to come. And so what does he do? He puts out the invitation. You say, how's he do that? The Holy Spirit of God was sent into this world to reprove this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. There's your invitation. It's already been prepared. There's nothing you have to do. You say, well, maybe I need to be a good person. He didn't tell anybody to be a good person here. He just said, come. Well, maybe I need to live it. He didn't tell anybody to live it here. He just said, come. Well, maybe I need to do the sacraments. He didn't tell anybody to do that. He said, come. That's the invitation. He just wants you to come. And he wants everybody to come. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, folks, you have no excuses because the invitation is so simple. And it's been extended to everybody. And it's available to everybody. Something else I want you to notice is the punctuality about it. Look at verse 17 again. It says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. That means that God has done his part and you ought to come to Jesus Christ now. Because now they're ready. And he's made that provision now. Now your part is simply to respond. Have you ever wondered why the Lord says you ought to come to Jesus Christ right now? Have you ever wondered why preachers get up and they preach and they say, now's the time for salvation. Now's the time that you need to be saved. You say, well, why is that? Because yesterday's gone forever. Yeah. Amen? You know, what you did an hour ago, you can't go back and change it. What you did yesterday, you can't go back and change it. That time is gone. And I'll tell you something, folks. One of the most depressing things about time, and I'll be honest with you, that's the reason one of my favorite parts of that Bible is you read over there at the end of Revelation, it says that time will be no more. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. You know why? Because time is pretty depressing, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, you think about how fast you became the age that you are right now. I was telling my boy the other day, we come out of one of the Walmart or somewhere, so we were talking about something. And he said, he made a statement about me being old. And I told him, I was like, don't worry, it'll happen to you too. Amen? And I was thinking to myself, and I told him, I was like, you know, it seemed like yesterday I was 18 and I woke up this morning and I was 54. I don't know what happened. Amen? You could probably say the same thing. But you know what's really depressing about time? Because it doesn't stop for anybody. And you can say, well, the Lord stopped it a couple times in the Old Testament. He did for an hour or so. But for generally, that hasn't happened in your lifetime. Amen? Time moves on, and it moves fast. And everything that you do, even 5 minutes ago, can't go back and change what it said. Why? Time's moving. It just keeps on moving and moving and moving. And listen, it doesn't slow down. It doesn't slow down. You say, well, why do I need to get saved today? Because time's moving. And we're all moving towards an end. And that end is death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all heading that way, folks. And time's not waiting on anybody, and we're all, it's kind of like you're just in a flow of a river. And no matter how much you try to backpedal or to try to go against the flow, people, a lot of times, they'll get facelifts and they'll dye their hair. They'll do anything they can do to make themselves look younger. But the bottom line is this, is you're still being flowed down the river of time. Amen? You can't change it. I was seriously thinking about getting some hair dye for my head to make it look like I was a little younger. But I was thinking to myself, well, then everybody would see it and they would just know. Amen? Why? Time doesn't wait for anybody. Time's going to get us. So I'm telling you this, that supper's ready now. If you're not saved, you better hurry. You better hurry because time waits for nobody and you can't get yesterday back. And we also know that our lives can be snuffed out at a moment's notice. The Bible says, boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. He says, come, all things are now ready. So we see how this invitation the Lord gives is extended to all. He says, come. But then I want you to notice the sad part of this parable. And that is after the invitation is given to everybody and everything is done, everything's taken care of. He just wants his house full. The sad part of it is how the invitation was evaded. Just think about this servant and how excited he must have been. He knew that the banquet table was prepared. He knew that everything his master had done to invite people to come in and make it possible for them to enjoy it. He knew everything that he had done. He must have left that master's house with a great deal of excitement. He must have gone out so excited that he had the opportunity to extend the master's invitation. That reminds me, when I first got into ministry, I had been preaching where I was for probably 2 or 3 years, and then I ended up taking a church down in Oklahoma. And honestly, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I get down there and I start preaching the Word of God, these people are just going to be, wow. Man, these people, when they hear the Word of God preached, they're just going to be, people going to get saved and people going to get right with God. It's going to be great because God's Word is so powerful. I just go down there and I'll preach to them, and great things going to happen. Kind of like this guy, kind of like this servant. His master says, go out there and give them the invitation. And I just know that servant says, boy, when they find out that my master has prepared this supper and all things are ready, when I give the invitation, I mean, people are going to come in hordes and saying, we want in. Is that what happened? No, it's not. In fact, we're going to read here in just a minute, when he starts giving an invitation, he started to see that people really weren't interested as much to get to that supper as the servant thought. That's the same way I was. When I started to preach the gospel and started to preach the Word of God, you know what I found? That most people still rejected it. When I went door to door and started telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happened? Most people rejected it. Most people didn't want to hear what I had to say, didn't want to hear the Word of God. I'll tell you something else I noticed, that when I started to go door to door and talk to people, I found out that everybody's saved for some reason, but not really. You see, they just wanted you to move along. That's the way it is everywhere you go. People aren't as interested in the invitation as you think, but they should be. Amen? They should be. It's all been prepared. It's a good deal. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you think today, Golden Corral. If Golden Corral said, you know what? Free food for everybody. Just come. Well, you couldn't keep people out of those doors. Amen? I mean, people will be flooding those doors like no tomorrow. Probably heading right to the stake. Amen? But isn't it something when God gives the invitation of the salvation of a soul that people say, nah, not today. Isn't it something that we put more priority on food than we do our own soul? Put more priority on the TV than we do our own soul? Put more priority on this life than we do our own soul when this life is moving awfully fast? The invitation's given. But yet when the invitation's given, and it's a good deal because the Lord is offering grace and mercy for every unsaved person in this world. It's a good deal, folks. He said, listen, every unsaved person deserves death because the wage of sin is death. But don't worry, it's all been prepared. I sent my son Jesus Christ to die on the cross 2,000 years ago, and he hung on that cross and said, it is finished. And all you have to do is come. All you have to do is come to him. If you aren't saved today, what in the world are you waiting on? That's a good deal. You need to take it. Why? Because either he pays your wages of sin with the death that he died on the cross, or you get to pay your wage for sin. And when you pay it, you're going to pay it forever and ever and ever because you sinned against the holy God, and you'll owe it to him until the day he dies, and he isn't dying. That's the reason a person today, he dies without being outside of Jesus Christ, without calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that person will be in hell for eternity. You say, oh, I didn't show up to church today to hear this. It's the truth. It's the truth. But the invitation's been given. All you do is show up. All you do is come. But many people will evade it. And certainly that's what happened here. The servant goes out and he tells these folks that the supper's ready. In verse 18 it says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. Then he begins to talk to these three people that he comes to. And he starts to hear the excuses that they make. And when you look at these three excuses, these three people and the excuses they made, you'll find that, first of all, The excuses these people made seemed acceptable to them. I mean, what I'm trying to say is when they made the excuse, they thought it was a good excuse. I mean, each one of them makes an excuse, and I could almost see the look of satisfaction on their face after they said, no, I can't come to the invitation today. Servant goes to the first house, knocks on the door. Man comes at the door, and he hears the invitation to come to the banquet. He hears the words, come, for all things are ready. And he says in verse 18, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. This man was satisfied with that excuse. He thought it was a pretty good excuse. So the servant goes to the second man. He knocks on the door. Fellow comes to the door. He hears the invitation, come, for all things are ready. He says in verse 19, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. He's pretty satisfied with this excuse as well. So then the servant comes to the third man. Here this man is. He's dressed in a tux with a flower stuck in his lapel. He's been to a wedding. And here's the invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. And he says in verse 20, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He too is satisfied with the excuse that he gave. You know, if you're not saved this morning, there's going to be an invitation given to you to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation this morning. And if you choose not to get saved today, I wonder what excuse that you'll use. I wonder what you'll say to yourself that will stop you from being saved today. Whatever excuse you use, I'm sure to you that excuse will seem acceptable. But may I remind you this morning that excuses are nothing more than alibis which keep people from responding to the loving invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these excuses, first of all, apparently seemed acceptable to these people. But when you look closer, you'll find that these excuses these people made were actually unacceptable. Look, if you would, starting at verse 16. It says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time. Now you need to remember, underline that. At supper time. You know, when you read in the Old Testament, and technically here when Jesus is talking about this, we are still in the Old Testament, because remember, the New Testament starts at the death of the testator. And so here, Jesus is given this parable, and notice it says it's supper time. Now usually when you look at supper time, that's in the evening. Hebrew time is in the evening. That's now Hebrew time starts a new day at 6 p.m. Okay, and so you're in the evening here. You're at the end of the day. That's usually when supper time was. You say, well, why is that so important? Because listen to the excuses these people give. It doesn't make sense. I mean, think about the first guy. He says this: I bought some land. I'm going to check it out. Pretty odd time to go check out the land, wouldn't you say? At the end of the day, going to get ready to turn dark. Not only that, but why would you buy a piece of land without checking it out first? That makes sense? And so that's his excuse. Even though it seemed acceptable to him, really it wasn't acceptable. Second guy's no better off. He says, I bought some oxen. I better go check them out. Why didn't he check them out the next day? Or why would you wait till the nearing darkness to check out the oxen? Why would you buy the oxen without checking them out? Amen? But the third guy is worst of all. He says, I've married a wife and I cannot come. What new bride wouldn't want to get all, I mean, they're all dressed up anyway, go to a banquet? Who wouldn't want to do that? But his excuse seemed acceptable. You know, people make some of the silliest excuses for not getting saved. And Christians make a lot of silly excuses for not getting right with the Lord. But may I tell you this morning, there are no good excuses. There is no excuse anybody could have made in that parable that was a good excuse for missing the supper that had been prepared and was now ready for anybody who would come. The reason these men didn't come to the supper is because they didn't want to come, and they were just making excuses. And may I say this morning, if you are not saved, and that invitation is given for you to come, and to come now and be saved, you may make excuses. And you know what? To you, those excuses may seem perfectly fine. But there are no good excuses. There are no good excuses. And the excuses that you make, even though you think that they're acceptable, they're not acceptable. Why? Well, I can prove it. Do you know what the most important thing you possess is? Your soul. Now, the Bible tells you that. And you know it to be true too, because that soul is who you are on the inside. It's you. Now, folks, let me ask you something. Is there anything on this earth that is worth your soul? Then would you agree this morning that the salvation of your soul has to be the number one priority in your life? Because if you lose that soul, you ain't getting it back. It isn't like you get another one. You have one. And if you lose it, if you die without Jesus Christ, that soul will be in hell forever. If you don't believe it, read Luke 16. It's right there. You don't want to lose the most valuable thing you have is that soul. You don't want to lose that soul. So you say, well, yeah, but I would get saved, but no, there are no good excuses. You can say, but wait a second, I don't have time to get saved. I got a roast in the oven. Who cares? Let it burn. Amen? Well, what would people think? Who cares? They've got their soul, you've got yours. Is what they think worth more than your soul? Who cares what they say? Who cares what they think? The invitation says, come, all you do is come. It's now ready. Take it now while you have the opportunity. People says, well, I've got this going on, I got that going on, or maybe next week. Why are you putting it off till next week? The invitation's for now. And you may think that that's a great excuse that you're given. Listen, Christian, if you're here today and you're not right, and you say, well, you know, I'd walk up there and everything, but well, maybe next week, maybe I'll just dabble in this sin a little bit longer. That's foolish. You have an opportunity now to come to the invitation. You have an opportunity now to come before God and get right. And there's no excuse you could possibly make that's a good one to be disobedient to your Creator. There's no good excuses. But these people here thought, boy, they thought that they had some great excuses. I could just imagine the look on their face of total satisfaction as that servant walked off and you're like, boy, I got out of that one. Whew. Man, I come up and that was a good excuse. Honey, was that a good excuse when I said I was going to go look at the oxen? And I can just imagine her saying, no, that was really kind of silly. Yeah, it's really kind of silly when any time we make an excuse not to do what the Lord tells us to do. So they were unacceptable. They were also totally inexcusable. Think about how inexcusable this was. Here was a man who had gone to the trouble to prepare a meal. He had paid for all the expenses. He had done everything necessary. He now extends the invitation and they begin to make excuses. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that when God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and my sins, and then when you're invited to come to Christ, you refuse to come. You do realize the price that Jesus Christ paid for you, right? I mean, you think about this. The Son of God, absolutely sinless, came from heaven to this earth in the form of a man, to die on that cross and be whipped, be made fun of, the crown of thorns be put on him, nails put in his hand and put in his feet, for you and for me. That's God manifest in the flesh. You realize that God would have been perfectly just to wipe the entire human race out right after the sin of Adam. He could have done it. He'd have been just to do it. But because he loved you and you and you and you and you, because he loved all of you, he said, you know what? I don't want them to die and go to hell. I want them with me in my house. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my only begotten son. My only begotten son who has done absolutely nothing. Totally innocent. And I'm going to have him die on the cross for all of you. What an act of love that it was. And then for somebody to be here this morning not saved and saying, nah, I'm not going to come. Nah, forget it. Well, it's your fault. You shouldn't have let Jesus Christ die for me. It's on you. What a slap in the face that is, folks. After what the Lord did for you and me? I mean, you think about what a slap in the face it is to God for somebody to turn down his invitation after the price that he paid on that cross. I'll also take it a step further. Think about what a slap in the face it is to God for a Christian who's already been saved to turn down his invitation to get right. You realize that when he shed his blood, he shed his blood to cover all your sins? And that if you'll just confess your sin, that his blood will wash it away. And listen, you can have fellowship with God again. But yet Christians will come up with every excuse in the world not to get right with God. What a slap in the face after what God did for you on that cross. Hey, listen, nobody in this room could pay the Lord back for what he did. Amen? You couldn't pay him back for what he did. There's no way in this world you could pay him back. But as a Christian, you should certainly be thankful and say, Lord, I'm going to try to live the best life I possibly can to glorify you, because after all, if it wasn't for you, I'd have no hope. But Christians don't think that way. Christians today, they aren't right. They aren't living right. You know what they'll do? They'll come up with every excuse in the world rather than get right with God. Look at verse 21. You say, well, how does God feel about it when people don't get right with him? How does God feel about it when a person doesn't get saved? When the invitation is given and everything's prepared and all they have to do is come, because now all things are ready. How does God feel about it? Well, look at verse 21. I'll show you how the master here felt about it. Verse 21 says, so that the servant came and showed to his Lord these things, talking about how they had made excuses not to come. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Made the master of the house angry. And may I say that the God of the universe is not pleased when he extends an invitation to people to receive the free gift of everlasting life after what Jesus Christ went through, and then for men to make excuses not to get saved. That does not please the Lord. And it does not please the Lord when Christians know that they're not living right and not doing things right, and God says, you need to come down and talk to me and make things right, and then for that Christian not to take him up on that invitation. God invites us to get right, and we need to take him up on it. So we've seen how the invitation is extended. We've seen how the invitation was evaded. Finally, I want you to see how the invitation was expanded to others. Now, the man does a wonderful thing in this parable. Look in verse 21. He tells us that this man expanded his invitation. In other words, he went to a certain people first, and they turned him down. And after they turned him down, he says, okay, fine. Just go out and get anybody. Why? I want my house full. Look at verse 21. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, bringing in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Look down to verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. He was saying, go find people who need healing. Go find those people who are sick. Go find those people who need to be made whole. You know what Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse 17? He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I heard a preacher say years ago, he goes, you know, we've got a lot of people in churches, but the problem is we need sinners in churches. And that's true. You know what the problem is? Is people forgot that they're sinners. People don't want to admit that they're sinners. And here's what the Lord's saying. He goes, listen, that master says, I want you to go out. I came to these people. They made an excuse. They aren't coming. So I tell you what I want you to do. Go out in the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in and get to those that are lame and get to those that are blind and those that are unable and those that are not whole, and tell them to come. There's a place for them. And may I tell you, folks, that's the reason I'm standing here today as a saved man, knowing he's going to heaven. Because when I was 10 years old, I recognized that I was a sinner. I recognized that I needed to be made whole, and the only one who could do it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one. And so I came to him. The invitation was given. And I'll tell you, even as a 10-year-old boy, when that invitation was given, I was one of those people that ran up there and got saved. I didn't wait. I was scared to death. For you that don't know, I was given a tract when I was 10 years old that said, this is your life. It was a black tract, a little chick tract, black. And I read it. Be honest with you, I read it and I knew that I was a sinner. And I read that thing and it about scared me half to death. You say, Pastor, you mean you got saved because you were scared? Yes. Yes, I did. Because I knew I was a sinner and I knew what I'd have to pay for those sins. And the very next Sunday, I show up to church. Now, by the way, that tract, when you read it, is about the great white throne of judgment. That's basically the whole tract. A guy, he lives his life and he goes and he stands before the great white throne of judgment and his name is not found in the book of life, and they take him and they throw him in the lake of fire. That's what that track is about. I read it, scared me to death. Because I knew I was going to say, if I had died, same thing would happen to me. Very next Sunday, you know what happens? I go to church and there's an evangelist there and they're having a revival. My parents were godly parents. They always took me to church when I was young. And there was an evangelist there, and he was preaching, and guess what he was preaching on? The great white throne of judgment. And the whole time he was preaching, I thought he was preaching to me. He was like, you know how sometimes you feel like the preacher's preaching at you? He wasn't. He was preaching to everybody, but I just knew he was preaching to me. And I knew that God was telling me, bub, you better get saved. The invitation's open. You better get up there and get saved. And so, I mean, he hadn't even given the invitation yet. I saw him close his Bible and says, and in conclusion. Well, when I heard that, I was like, I'm out of here. I mean, I ran up there to get saved. I wasn't going to wait. May I tell you, if you're not saved today, you know what you need to do? You need to get up here and get saved. You need to get saved. The invitation's open. Now listen, when he gave that invitation, when you read your New Testament, you understand when you compare scripture to scripture, that when Jesus came to this earth, he came to present himself as the King of the Jews. And if the Jews had received him, he would have set up his kingdom right then and there. He gave the invitation. But you know what those Jews said? We will have no other king ruler over us but Caesar. They rejected him as king. So what the Lord did? He said, okay, fine. Whosoever shall come to me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he extended that invitation to everybody. That's everybody in this room. That's the reason I'm here today. That's the reason you're here today if you're saved. The invitation is given to everybody because he wants his house full. So the question is this, are you going to come or not? And if you don't come, what's your excuse going to be? Got something else to do that's more important? What could be more important than the salvation of your soul? Christian, what could be more important to you today than to get back right with God? Don't you understand that the worst place you could be in life as a believer is to be away from the Lord, be out of fellowship with the Lord? Why would you stay that way? Why would you risk being chastened by the Lord by staying out of fellowship with him? Don't you know as a Christian who's gotten away from the Lord that you're the most miserable person in the world? Listen, I'm not saying that you are a bad person. I'm just saying that overall you're not happy and you know you aren't happy. And you say, well, I don't understand why I'm not happy. Because you're not in fellowship with the Lord. But you know what? The Lord has made everything ready. The invitation's given. All you have to do is come and get right with him. That's all you have to do. So he goes out and he calls the blind, the lame, those who need to be made whole. Do you need to be made whole this morning? Have you been saved? Have you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? If you haven't, then the Lord is inviting you to do so today. All you have to do is come. And Christian, if you're not right today, the Lord has given you an invitation today. All you have to do is come. Everything's taken care of. You just need to come. The invitation is given to you today if you just need to spend time to talk to the Lord. The invitation is given to you today if you just need to say thank you, Lord, for the things you've done. The invitation has been given to you today if you just need to get right with God. The invitation is given to you today if you need to be saved. The invitation's been given. What will your answer be? And if you say no, what excuse will you use? Let's stand.